Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/thisweekingeek. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hello out there, nerds and nerdettes. It's another edition of Review-O-Rama, and I am Mrs. Birdman.
And I'm her co-host and engineer this evening, Mike Birdman Dodd. Yes, guys, we are doing the March edition of Review-O-Rama. It is Easter weekend when we're recording this. So whether you're religious, not religious, you can still shop this weekend.
Or just in it for the candy.
Or who knows, hey, sometimes you get invited to some relative's house and get some pretty awesome dinners. Be it ham or... Do people do turkey on this type of weekend?
We do turkey and ham.
Weird. But we're not doing that this weekend because it's Walking Dead weekend.
And we saw G.I. Joe.
That's true. Which, now, I don't know whether you would necessarily find this offensive or not. Do you find it kind of funny that the season finale of Walking Dead is on Easter Sunday?
The resurrection?
Yeah, the resurrection here. Which, according to, I think, in Rolling Stone magazine, 27 characters are going to die.
What?
Including some mainliners.
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
Well, hey, you've had 3-4 years to read the comic books by now. They're up to issue 112 now.
But they don't follow the same continuity.
Kinda, sort of. I got that on the PS3. I just noticed something, guys. Sorry, very distracting. Shiny things. Moving on. So, yeah, we got a pretty big show for you this week. We're going to be covering 5 different titles. However, though, before we get too far into the show, we're going to have a shorter show next month, not so much based upon a lot of the big releases. We're going to do one that's entirely based on cartoons and stuff like that. We got a lot of really cool 80s stuff. We got some stuff from the 90s and something that ties into My Little Pony as well. So we'll talk about that towards the end of the show. But in this show, what are we going to be covering this week, Blair?
For our Game Access Game of the Week is Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon on the 3DS. We're also covering Red Dawn from Alliance Films, He-Man 30th Edition Box Set by Mill Creek, To the Arctic, the IMAX movie from Warner Brothers, and Silent Hill Revelations 3D from Alliance.
Well, guys, I guess, once again, we should be thanking our sponsors of offworlddesigns.com. Don't forget to use promo code BROHOOF to get 10% off your entire order. BigAndTallMart.com, use code GEEK10 on checkout to get 10% off orders, $50 or more. But also our other sponsors, such as GameAccess.ca, OneUpYourLife, Starfleet, SFI.org, OneUpYourLife, and Audible.com. So without any further ado, here is Game Access. This is your GameAccess.ca Game of the Week. Don't forget to buy or rent your video games from Canada's online video game rental service. Use promo code TWIG to score an extra 5 days added to your free trial. You gotta admit, that's kind of badass. Well, guys, in today's installment, we're going to look at something for the Nintendo 3DS. We're looking at Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. And, well, I guess I should preface this that I haven't had a chance to play the original Luigi's Mansion back on the GameCube earlier in the decade. Wow, feels weird to say that. And, well, this is probably one of the more fun 3DS games I've actually had a chance to play in the last little bit. The storyline goes, once again, Professor Egad has summoned Luigi to help him deal with a ghost problem. What has happened is someone has shattered the Dark Moon, which hangs above Evershade Valley where the game takes place, and has driven all the ghosts nuts. They were once happy and friendly. Now they're, well, definitely not so much. So it's up to Luigi and the Poltergust 5000, which can be upgraded along the way, to go out there and capture these ghosts across a variety of different mansions. And, well, it's really kind of cool. I mean, the best way to describe this game, it's Luigi Ghostbusters, for lack of a better phrase, mixed with a little bit of puzzle solving. And none of the puzzles are terribly difficult. There's more than a few that I'll be like, okay, I didn't think of that. But it's fun, and the fact that the game takes place in sections, unlike the other game, which I've read is one very huge mansion, this splits the game up into, I think it's about 5 or 6 different ones, if I'm remembering correctly. And you have to accomplish an objective with each. So there's like different subsections. And, you know, it's never quite the same thing twice. Although I do find the difficulty in this game does get a little messed up in places. Sometimes it's ridiculously easy. Other times it's I want to throw this thing across the room, smash it, and forget I ever had it in the first place hard. But it's still a remarkably fun thing to play around with. One of the things I would notice, it would be really cool if we had a second circle pad for this. Controlling Luigi is a little bit imprecise. It will get you killed more than a few times, and that's unfortunate. Also, if you're going to play this game, I'm going to recommend you play this with the 3D on. It actually really kind of helps helping you judge depth and things, and can help reveal certain things in the environment. There's a lot of collectibles to find, and there's also hidden Boo ghosts you can find. That's right, the original ones from the original Mario Brothers games, and you can capture them for some special bonuses. There is a multiplayer component, which I unfortunately haven't had a whole lot of time to play around with, but hopefully I'll get a chance to talk about that more on another show. But all in all, can I recommend Luigi's Mansion? Yeah, it's a lot of fun. If you own a 3DS, I'm going to say this is probably one of those games you should have in your library. Nintendo seems to be about the only company that really gets making 3DS games as must-buys. They really have a grasp of how to make that technology work for them. So Luigi's Mansion is a most definite buy from us here at This Week in Geek. Well, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for here on GameAccess.ca's Game of the Week. Don't forget to buy or rent your video games from Canada's online video game rental service.
Now, just looking at Luigi's Mansion, I'm kind of interested. Usually I'm more of a platformer for Mario games, but it kind of looks cool.
Yeah, I kind of like it when Nintendo takes the franchises in unexpected directions. I mean, like I said in the review, I didn't get a chance to play the original Luigi's Mansion, but once I play this one, I do want to go back and check out the one on the original GameCube. I'm pretty sure I've got it in my game collection, so I'm going to have to go back and check that out, hopefully before the end of the month on RAD. So, yeah, I guess it should be fun. I mean, the best way to describe this game, it's Luigi's Ghostbusters, and it's a lot of fun. It's a little too long, I think, but it's still fun. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck. Totally worth it. So the next movie we're going to talk about here is something you've actually never seen the original.
No, but I was surprised at how much I genuinely enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, so we're going to be checking out Red Dawn from Alliance, and well, here's me again! We are looking at Red Dawn, the remake, coming to us from Alliance Films. Well, I saw this movie in theaters when it came out, and I hadn't seen the original Red Dawn yet, so this was my first experience with the idea of the US being invaded and taken over. And basically, the good guys lost, but not so much in the end. The basic story is North Korea has invaded the US, they've taken over Spokane, Washington, and it's up to a small ragtag band of teenagers and other freedom fighters to help free the town, inspire the rebellion, which will eventually help lead the uprising against the Russians, the North Koreans, as basically the world goes to crap. And well, it stars Thor himself, one of the kids from The Hunger Games, and Connor Cruz. I didn't know Tom Cruise adopted a son. He plays the African-American kid with the machine gun. But still, rather cool, though. It's pretty much the story inside of a nutshell. It's them fighting back against North Korean forces. And this movie had a really troubled past when it was being made. They had to change some things during filming and afterwards. I actually interviewed the producer for this a couple of months ago. But I would best describe this movie as it's a stupid action movie with a really cool premise. And all things considered, I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's got some fantastic sound design in it, too, if you just listen to it. If you're a bit of a sound nerd, you can start to recognize some of the guns. Like, hey, that's from the Sony sound effects library, which is kind of funny. But it's not as hard-hitting as the original. It doesn't have the same emotional resonance as the first one had. It does try and copy some of the scenes from the original where the guy got tagged and they have to follow him. There's the traitor who, like, turns into a collaborator with the bad guys and killing one of the major characters' brothers. And it's supposed to be as impactful as the original, which I'd say Patrick Swayze and the other guy did it a lot better. That's not to say this isn't worth seeing, though. What I'm going to say, though, is this movie is likely... I'm going to say, if you like the original, this is worth a rent for sure. If you haven't seen the original, then I'd recommend picking this up first and then seeing the original, because I find that will vastly color your experience you have with Red Dawn. Although, I find it a highly entertaining popcorn movie, it's definitely worth checking out. Now, to say something negative about this release, there are no special features, like none, and that really, really surprised me. It would have been nice to get a commentary, a documentary behind the scenes. It would have been cool to look back on Red Dawn, say 30 years later, or whatever, especially with the current political climate. I don't know, I really think they kind of dropped the ball on this release. So, what I'm going to say for this one, this is likely worth a rental, at best. And if you really like it, go pick it up, but I wouldn't say pay full price for this movie, though. And that is Red Dawn, the remake from Alliance Films.
Now, this isn't the first Red Dawn movie, correct?
No, the original, I think, came out in 1984, and it starred... I know it had Patrick Swayze, and I want to say Charlie Sheen was in it as well. And it featured the Russians as opposed to the North Koreans. And it's not as action-packed as this one, although it's still a fairly solid movie. I think you may enjoy it, but it's not something you can just kind of casually pay attention to. You got to be committed. But it's a really good movie. The 2012 remake, I think it's worth checking out. I really do.
I don't know why, but I really enjoyed it. There's something about having Thor and Tom Cruise's son. And what was the other dude from?
The kid from The Hunger Games?
Yeah, the kid from The Hunger Games. All together in a movie that just... It was kind of cool, actually.
Although it's weird. This movie sat on a shelf for like 2 years, I think.
So this came... this was actually made before The Hunger Games.
Before The Hunger Games and just before Thor, I think, is when this was actually filmed. I think it was shot in Michigan. So not too far from here, actually. And yeah, they had to go through a lot of changes in post from what I understand, though. But still, I think it's an enjoyable film for what it is. Don't look for the same kind of political commentary you got in the original. If you go in here expecting a cheesy matinee-style action movie or something to watch with your buddies on a Friday or Saturday night with the sound turned up, yeah, I don't think you're going to go too wrong here.
I'm nodding.
Yeah, that she is. See, one of the things on this show is trying to teach Blair the art of showmanship. So she hasn't quite nailed it down just yet. And that's, you know, it's something that either comes with practice, time, or you got it or you don't.
I'm just like, hey. Yeah.
I'm here.
I'm good.
Now, one of the things that we both kind of grew up watching.
He-Man!
Yes. Yes, we're talking about the He-Man 30th Anniversary box set from Mill Creek Entertainment. This is one, well, you're going to hear my words about it now, so let's go to that, and then we'll come back and kind of talk about the how He-Man got us as kids. So we'll be back right after this. We are checking out the 30th Anniversary box set for He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, coming to us from Mill Creek Entertainment. Well, guys, I'm a huge fan of He-Man. I have been since the 1980s. I grew up on it. I had a lot of the toys. I actually just recently got myself a vintage Castle Grayskull in the box, and it's currently set up in my studio with He-Man and Skeletor and She-Ra. It looks pretty kick-ass, and they're all the Matty Collector versions, too. So, when I found out there was going to be a new box set that would collect a majority of the He-Man stuff that's currently available, well, I jumped at the chance to get this. So what you're getting is, I'm not really going to talk about the shows. You already know the shows. You get all 130 episodes of the original 1983 series. You're getting 20 episodes of the 1990 series, although there were 65 produced, so there's something to take note of that. Those series are available, but from a different company, and that company is now out of business, so finding the other 65 is going to be a little bit of a trick. Although you do get the other 39 of the 2002 series as well. So what you get with this, you get an exclusive Matty Collector He-Man Power Sword in Eternian Gold. Looks really cool, though I'm leaving mine in the plastic till I get, like, a King Randor or something. You also get a 48-page booklet, I think, written by James Etock, who you may remember we interviewed a couple years ago. He is, like, a He-Man historian. Basically, he knows everything about it. You also get a soundtrack, which also includes the Spanish version of the He-Man song. That's really strange. And you also get, a really kick-ass display box for this thing. Now, the main reason to buy this set is to get as much He-Man in one possible place. Now, I've seen this thing retail from anywhere between $60 and $120, and I think no matter which way you spin it, it's going to be a fantastic value, especially if you don't own any of the previous releases here. Now, the main reason I bought this was for special features. As you guys know, I'm a bit of a documentary whore, and here, I am not disappointed. I mean, on the one disc alone, there's like 10 documentaries. I'm probably getting that number wrong, but there's a significant amount, and each of them is at least 20 minutes, and a good majority of them are easily 30 to 40 minutes. You are not going to be bored. There's also a video commentary on certain episodes. One that I checked out was for one called Snake Pit, which was from the 2002 series, with some of the writers, producers, and guys who worked on it. And it was actually really cool seeing Zardok and King Hiss, and just really impressed with how much these guys were, like, kind of thrown into it to give perspective on, hey, this is something we foreshadow later with Snake Mountain. Here is Stinkor before he becomes Stinkor. And to kind of get an interesting perspective, because I think commentaries, you do get a little bit more when you can start reading into the body language and see the smiles on these guys' faces as well. I'd say the transfer for these looks about as good as they have in previous releases. However, doing some research on this, there may be an issue on Season 2, Disc 3, where there may be an encoding issue. However, I think you can email Mill Creek and check that out if your set has this particular issue. However, though, I've got to say, this is probably one of the best box sets I've seen come out in a long, long time, considering how complete it is, all the extras you're getting. If I had one complaint, I hate how Mill Creek puts their DVDs in cardboard or paper inserts. I would like a case of some kind. I understand it does increase the cost a little bit, but I want my discs to be complete. However, though, considering how snugly everything fits in the box, I don't think that's going to be too much of a concern here. That's a nitpick at best. So, guys, do yourself a favor and check out the 30th anniversary edition of He-Man and Masters of the Universe in one complete box set.
I'll get you, He-Man! Skeletor!
See, that's what I love about my friend Dan Milano from Robot Chicken. He does a wicked Skeletor. I think he actually did a promo for us at some point as Skeletor.
I think he did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And one of, if you watch or listen to Twig, back when I used to do my cartoon streams, I used to love going, "Pussy fart, He-Man!" Just because I thought it sounded really weird.
That was kind of like your meme.
Yeah, it pretty much was, or We Will Never Forget Milky. I guess I should bring my cartoon streams back at some point. I guess I just got to go out and buy a webcam, so I guess I'll put that on the good old Amazon wish list. So this box set, I was surprised how much stuff it really had in it.
The special features are what sells this box set, other than the nostalgia factor itself. Like, we sat through for an afternoon and kind of just went through the special features, and seeing how kind of fanatical people still are about He-Man, it kind of surprised me, as well as really kind of it touched my heart a little.
Yeah, I mean, one of the stories they tell during the documentaries is a guy, he has some kind of a condition, I don't know whether it's a handicap of some sort, but he meets, I think it's the voice of Orko, and he gives him like a He-Man crew jacket, or it was something significant. And this guy was, like, almost moved to tears, stuff like that. And I didn't even know there was a He-Man convention. I think it's called PowerCon. Now, there's also another documentary out there that's being worked on about He-Man. Although I can't remember what it's called. I think it's being done by Roger Lay Jr., and he's the same guy who worked on the Captain Power special features. He also worked on the stuff for the Star Trek The Next Generation box sets, which you're seeing right now being released on Blu-ray. But yeah, this box set from Mill Creek, it's seriously worth it. If you can find it, I think it's really worth picking up. The only negative is that you only get 20 episodes from the 1990 series out of the 65 produced. And I would imagine that's probably due to licensing. They may not have the license to get them all. And that box set's been out of print for quite some time. So if you can track them down, you'll have everything He-Man that's ever been produced, to my knowledge. Other than that, though.
Oh, we were up at a relative's house, and they had boxes of stuff of Michael's from when he was younger. And we were going through closet, and we found a Skeletor and a He-Man figure.
Yeah we found my battle-damaged Skeletor and my battle-damaged He-Man.
Oh, but the poor heads on them that were
rubber.
So rubber, and it was kind of, you could squeeze it, and the Skeletor's head just looked mangled.
Yeah, because unfortunately rubber rots, and if it's not treated properly, I mean, you'll notice this with a lot of toys that were produced from this time period, and even to now, the rubber just loses its form, it loses definition, and eventually your toys will rot unless they were treated properly.
Well, that and Darcy Dog got a hold of He-Man's hand and flattened it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure my dog's got a hold of some of my He-Man figures. That's unfortunate, though. Yeah, I found those ones. I think I found Stinkor, Hordak, and I think what used to be a Beast Man. Unfortunately, they are not in good shape, so I didn't bring them home. So, may they rest in peace.
But we do have a new He-Man addition to our studio.
Yep, as I mentioned during my review, I now have a vintage Castle Grayskull, which I got for a ridiculously good deal considering how good shape it's in.
Well, that didn't even come with the box.
It came with the box. It even had the cardboard inserts, which act as King Randor's throne, the computers inside. There's even like a cardboard training dummy. And my weapons rack has every weapon, including the small gun that's often missing when you buy this thing. So I got a ridiculously good deal.
Well, that, and it goes really nice with the new figures that just came out.
Yeah, I've got some of the Maddie Collector Edition He-Man. I got He-Man, Skeletor, and She-Ra. I might track down a Beast-Man and a Merman at some point. But it looks really cool. And I know some of my friends are hunting down some vintage He-Man figures for me now. I think they got me like a Ram Man and some other ones.
Oh, and Laura's store, Big B Comics, has a Panthor in box.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, that's Thundercats. I'm thinking about getting into that one next. But
I'm confusing myself.
Well,
now
they were out at about the same time. So I really can't fault you for that. However, we have to move away from childhood nostalgia.
Oh.
And we have to move into the realm of education. And we're going to take a look at something you may have seen in your local science center. This is To the Arctic, the IMAX version, on Blu-ray. And, well, here's our review. We are looking at the IMAX presentation of To the Arctic from Warner Brothers on high-definition Blu-ray, 3D Blu-ray, and ultraviolet. Some of which I don't actually use. But anyway, guys, we are here talking about this fantastic documentary. This is something you'd probably see in your various science centers around you, or any place that has an IMAX screen that shows educational programming. And, well, as the title implies, they're checking out the Arctic. And you're more or less following around a family of polar bears, but you're also looking at some of the environmental changes that are happening with the glaciers, the Arctic sea ice, and most of it is narrated by Meryl Streep. But then a scientist guy takes over about halfway through. The main presentation for this is about 40 minutes, and if you have the right television setup, this thing looks absolutely gorgeous. We are watching this on our 56-inch plasma TV. We don't have the 3D version for this, unfortunately, but it really popped on Blu-ray. This thing looks amazing. Sounds even better. If IMAX does anything right, they know how to make their presentations look and sound the best they possibly can be when they get translated over to home media. It's really well shot. I mean, there's some gorgeous shots that you will not believe they are not CG. There's one shot where they're flying over a glacier. You can just see the glacial waterfalls emptying out into the sea. And I'm not even kidding when I say this. I actually almost kind of teared up just to see how gorgeous it was, because I'm very connected to that part of the world, you know, as being a person who grew up around with a lot of Inuit culture. And they do talk to some Inuit people about their way of life and adapting to the warming environment. So it was just gorgeous, for lack of a better word. Now, there are some special features available on this. Unfortunately, none of them are longer than 5 minutes. And there's about five or six of them. And they're very, very typical fluff pieces. There's some behind-the-scenes things, some people talking about the difficulties of filming, getting certain shots of the polar bears, using IMAX cameras, stuff like that. Unfortunately, they're not too in-depth. These are the sort of things you'd see playing before the movie in the lobby. Basically, think of them as... yeah, they're basically promo fluff pieces is the best way to describe it. However, though... Is this Blu-ray worth picking up? Well, Blair is a teacher. As an educator, absolutely. This would be wonderful to show inside of a classroom or to use for any kind of environmental studies programs. As a person who maybe has an interest in documentaries, I'd say yeah. I think it's worth adding considering the price. For the average person, I'm going to say this is probably worth a rent. At least, I mean, if you're curious and you want to see something really cool or you want something neat to show off, just how high definition your system is, this is probably worth picking up. But I'm going to say probably for educator and documentary people only, really. For the average person, it's a weekend rental at best, but it's a good 40 minutes. You're going to learn a lot, and you're going to see some really impressive shots. So check out To the Arctic from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment.
Now, as an educator, I do find this set to be quite valuable. I'm not sure what the replay value will be on it as a home viewer, but I did find it really interesting about how well it connects to things that I might be teaching in the future. So I thought it was really well done.
I didn't find it overly environmentally preachy either.
No, which was kind of nice because there are a lot of films out currently that do go that route.
They just kind of jam it down your throat.
Well, yeah, and there's only so much of that you can do as opposed to educating about what is up there and what it should be like and how it is.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think this is something, it depends on how much you love documentaries. Ultimately, whether this is going to be a repeat buy or simply a rent, it's worth seeing.
And it's narrated by Meryl Streep, which I found quite interesting.
But she's not in it as much as I thought she would be.
They kind of intermix between guest commentators and Meryl Streep. So it's not like the Penguin one. Who was it narrated by? Do you remember?
Morgan Freeman,
how he was the predominant one. It's done in the same vein as that movie. And it has the same aesthetic qualities, but it's not so much of a pound environmentalism down your throat.
Yeah, it's not this generation's version of an inconvenient truth. So, but worth checking out, something you would see from your local science center. Definitely worth checking out. Now, this is something Blair has no idea what the hell she's going to talk about. So I have to take this one complete lead. I'm a gamer. Pretty obvious. I do a review a day. I review games across many different radio stations and outlets across the land. I like video game movies for the most part. This one I didn't. Here are my initial thoughts, and then I'm going to come back and rage out. We are taking a look at yet another Alliance Films release. We're looking at Silent Hill Revelation 3D. Well, guys, video game movies are a very tough thing. They're either mediocre at best, unfortunately, and yes, I'm looking at you, Tomb Raider, and a few other ones. Or they're downright terrible. Uwe Boll fans rejoice. And then we have this one. This is the second film in the Silent Hill franchise, and I can't believe I'm actually saying that. And, well, it is confusing as hell. Basically, in a nutshell, it involves a father and a daughter, and they're constantly on the run, changing their names, trying to escape this mysterious religious order that keeps trying to hunt them down. And it all ties into the town of Silent Hill, which kind of exists, I guess, out of space, out of dimensions from our world. And, well, they want to use this girl's body to be the vessel of this outer god. And I've completely lost you guys. Yeah, it's weird. And I've played the video games, and it's weird too, but not so much. It's, I don't know, Silent Hill Revelation 3D, it's a mess of a film. It's something you almost have to watch twice to kind of get what's going on. And I'm talking as someone who's beat most of the Silent Hill games. It does have some in common with some of the latter titles in the series. But honestly, it's just not entertaining. I mean, other than some fan service with seeing Pyramid Head and, you know, some of the other creatures from the games, there isn't a whole lot really connecting it to. I mean, if I did have something really positive to say about this movie, it nails the look of Silent Hill. The Silent Hill movies, while they may not be the best adaptations of the source material, they definitely nail the atmosphere and they nail the art design. Like, these things look gorgeous in terms of the mood that they're trying to invoke. Unfortunately, it's everything else surrounding that that just falls to crap. And it's really hard to recommend this. I mean, even if you're a fan of the Silent Hill franchise. I mean, yeah, as cool as it is to see Pyramid Head and the nurses and, you know, the weird little creature things, it's just so hard to get into because you want this movie to be better. You want this to connect more to the mystery that is Silent Hill. And you want it to be a genuine horror movie, not just relying on cheap scares or, you know, hey, we're going to weird you out. Silent Hill Revelations 3D is honestly, it's a miss. I can't think of any good reason to recommend it. I can't even recommend this as a watch, to be honest with you. I mean, sure, if it pops up on Netflix eventually, sure. But in my opinion, avoid this movie. It's terrible, especially if you're a Silent Hill fan. You know what? Go back and play the first one. Go play the second one. Or go play the new HD collection that was released on consoles late last year. Just make sure you patch it first. But that was Silent Hill Revelation 3D, a complete avoid from us here at This Week in Geek.
Now, I really tried to watch this movie, but I had no idea what was going on. And frankly, as Michael raged out, I kind of got the picture that I didn't really need to see it.
Yeah, honestly, if you want to experience Silent Hill, play the games. Don't watch the movies. The first one is okay. It definitely nails the aesthetic. This one, I kind of got lost about three quarters of the way through it. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. And that really kind of sucks because it depends on how you want to look at it. I think Alliance, when they do films like this, like I said, the first Resident Evil movie, what people may say, it was okay. The first Silent Hill movie was okay. The second Resident Evil movie was a little less okay. The second Silent Hill movie, definitely a little less okay. I don't understand why it's so hard to adapt certain video games on the screen. But then again, you have to wonder, you have between 8+ hours to develop an atmosphere, storyline, and a care, as opposed to a movie where you have maybe 90 minutes. And you don't have, and you can't cram a lot of exposition down people's throats without completely losing them. It's just one of those things that you can't do. It bores people to tears. So, unfortunately, like I said, Silent Hill Revelations 3D, I would not sit through this again.
Well, that, and would you really pay that extra money in the theaters to see it in 3D?
See, there may have been parts in this that may have looked really cool in 3D. Like, seeing Pyramid Head would have been really cool. But that's not enough for me to go into the theaters and pay $12. Is it enough for me to pay the $20+ on Blu-ray? Probably not, all things considered. Like I said in my review, if you want to check this out, wait till it comes out on Netflix. Or if someone hates you, maybe you'll get it as a gift. I'm sorry, this movie sucks. There is no two ways about it. It sucks. So yeah, that's what I gotta recommend. So I guess that's pretty much gonna do it for us. Although next time, like I said, Blair's just finding out about this now.
Surprise!
Surprise! We're going to be talking about Street Sharks, Beverly Hills Teens.
No!
Oh, that show's amazing.
No!
We used to nickname it Babyhead. We're also going to be looking at Digimon. I just got the complete second season and some other stuff from a new company.
Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad up there.
Which is a big favorite of mine. I'll be able to talk about the first 28 episodes, I think, on that one. So a lot of cool stuff. I also have the next version of the Care Bears to talk about as well. So a lot of nostalgic cartoons. We'll be back in 2 weeks, I promise, with some new stuff. And maybe I'll give you a brief review of The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey as well. Because, you know, that's nerdy and we should probably talk about that. So until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd. And Blair, this is your sign off.
I know. I'm supposed to sign off first. This is my show.
No, I sign off because I'm the co-host. You get the final sign off.
Maybe I want to sign off for both of us.
I suppose you could.
I am the pants in this family.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh God.
What's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.